Good evening. It's good to see you all here this evening. If you will, take a hymnal and turn to page number 139. Let's everyone stand and sing together at Calvary. Everyone sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. No, it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
On the last,
oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
All right, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Ask him to be with us tonight. Ceylon, would you pray for us this evening? Thank you. You can be seated. In a few moments, we'll have a few prayer requests. But if you will, turn to page 120. Page 120, and let's sing about the victory that we've got in Jesus.
I heard an old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory! My Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing.
On the last,
well, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory.
How about page number 57? If you'll turn with me over there if you need it. Sing about the amazing grace of the Lord. Amen. We might need someone that can grab an offering plate. Somebody will just give us a hand back here, one of you young fellas. There you go. Thank you so much. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. All the last, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Amen. Please remember Brother Brian and their family, as well as Brother Dion and the family there. I think some of them might have went and to check on him, see him today. And so please remember Dion in prayer. And we just need the Lord have his hand upon them and just give them the strength and the peace that they need. And be with Dion. He's a strong man. He's a strong man. He's got a great, great spirit. And we just pray the Lord just continue to have his hand upon him. And again, pray for L and DNA and all the other prayer requests. We've got a lot of folks that are going through some difficult times. Please remember our daughter Jessica in your prayers as well. And just pray the Lord would just give strength where it's needed. He's a great healer. Amen. Yes. And we are trusting in his healing in some situations and just need the Lord to show himself strong. We're thankful for the message and Brother Snyder this morning. Brought a great message, and it was great to have them with us and see them here. It's great to have Brother Allen here with us tonight, and we look forward to what the Lord has for us through him. But let's ask the Lord's blessing on the service as well as the offering, and I pray the Lord would just get glory out of everything that happens here today at Calvary. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be back in your house this evening. Lord, what a beautiful day you've given us today. And thank you for the opportunity we had this morning, for the message and the messenger. Lord, thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can cast all of our cares upon you. And we know that you care for us like no other. Lord, we are trusting you to heal some of our ones that we love. And Lord, we pray that you would have your hand upon each one of them. Some are unable to be here due to sickness and different situations. Lord, we pray that you'd be with them in a very special way as well. Lord, be in the service tonight. Bless the offering now, the gift and the giver. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
make sure everything's plugged in, all that. As I said a while ago, it's good to be with you tonight. It's been about a month, I guess, since we've been here, maybe. About a month. Seems like it and stuff. A lot has happened since the last time I stood and spoke to y'all, isn't it? Celon just said in his prayer, help all those that needs the physical touch and spiritual touch and meet the needs and stuff. A lot of things has happened since the last time we stood. Talking about Dion. Dion, strong man. Strong man. I'm here. You know. For to go from one day to the next, what I call gut blows, you never know what's coming. Brian's grandmother went on vacation. She was fine. Come back, and she wasn't. So that can happen pretty suddenly. Gives us a chance or a, I guess you'd say, a panic in order to get to God when we have to get to God. Just a couple of days ago, it came across, I think Tammy mentioned it to me, a family in Paulding County. I don't know if it was a little boy or a little girl, but mom and dad got them off to school, signed a release form to go to a field trip. Just an elementary school kid. Went up to Cagle Farms, I believe. No? Where? Carlton Farms. Went to a farm and somehow went undetected. Next thing you know, this little one drowned. Man, what do you do about that? You know? I would say that would be overwhelming, wouldn't you? I would say when Miss Elna, going through what she's been going through, and then all of a sudden it happened to Dion, her husband, I'd say that'd be overwhelming. Sometimes you just lose your breath, spiritually speaking, so to speak. You get overwhelmed with life, whether it be your friends or your family. Or then I found out today, downtown Atlanta, the biggest one in the nation is the Gay Pride. I imagine there's going to be a lot of politicians down there leading the way, leading the charge. There's probably some churches even got floats in it. Wouldn't surprise me at all. We've got that close to the world now. Probably somebody running for governor is out there politicking, smiling. The Bible talks about that he will send us a strong delusion. But here's our concern. I'm not saying I understand the adults down there, but just when you live as long as I have, I can kind of see the pattern that the world has gone here lately. And it doesn't surprise me, so to speak. It doesn't surprise me just right downtown, 30 minutes from here. The biggest parade in the nation. But those adults now are beginning to bring their children with them. They have no idea what they're marching for. They just trust their mom and dad. You know? Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad for people of God, for Christians, that has been saved by the blood of the Lamb, and realizing what the Bible says about all of that, we will shake our heads. We will say, my, my, my. But we don't take much of a bold stand anymore. So it's not surprising when if it's just one travesty, one devastation after another, and people just kind of blow it off. I'll touch on this in just a minute, but I had some of the boys down to a football game down in Atlanta Saturday, and we just pull up to this red light. Just pull up to the red light, and you heard a pow, you know, fireworks or whatever the case may be, and I turned around. It's about as far from, I don't know, closer from here to Randy. There was a dude just done loading. Boom, 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 boom. Right there. And people just would kind of look. Now we hollered, get down and got out of there, all right? But if you look at, didn't find nothing in the police reports, didn't find nothing on the news, didn't find nothing on the internet or anything like that. It's almost like the people around there are just, it's just what happens, just what it does, you know. But sometimes things can happen that can catch us way off guard. That's what I want to touch on tonight. If you have your Bibles, please open it to Psalms chapter number 61. Chapter number 61, I thought about Dion and Elnan. I thought about that mom and dad that just gets a phone call. I thought about Brian's family and what all was going on with things that he has to deal with involved in his family and his grandmother all at the same time. That's enough to overwhelm you. And I was sitting there in the office. I was just asking God. I just say, Lord, would you, of all this thing happened, Lord, would you just show me something in the Bible? Would you just bring back to my memory something I've read, something I've studied, or something that kind of relates to my friend Dion, kind of relates to those couples? Because what if in my church, and what if in this church, what if something like that happens, and they was to come up to you and just say, ask you the question of why? Or just see the brokenness in them. What would you say? I've been on the other side of being overwhelmed. And oftentimes, it doesn't matter who talks to you. You're listening to them, but you are not hearing them. Because you're just void. You're just blank. So I was reading through Scripture, and I was just saying, I'd like to find me a character or find somebody that's kind of resembles some of the stuff that's going on. And we got family issues. We got problems with our friends. And we've got national issues and community issues. And all this all at one time, it can be overwhelming, can't it? But Psalms 51, I believe we can kind of zero in on this a little bit. I'm going to read, it's just 8 verses. I'm going to read you the verses first. And then we'll go back and kind of recap certain things I want to bring out to you. Okay, if you're able, if you stand, please, in respect of God's word, if you're able, as I read these verses here. It's just 8 of them. The Bible says, Psalms 51, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. David seems to have written this phrase, and it's been put to music. It is so important that the Holy Spirit or God is instructing David to say, I want them to sing it in services. I want the children to sing it. I want the adults to sing it. I want it embedded in their hearts so that when they walk around, they will whistle the important things of what I'm going to tell you. David says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah means think about what he just said. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the reading and the teaching and preaching of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Verse 5, he says, for thou, O God, thou hast heard my vows that thou hast given. Apparently, David feels like that God has given him something. It's a gift. He said, God, you gave it to me. But this is what kind of strikes you a little bit if you look at it. All through the scripture here, you'll see David crying, praying, abiding, singing, to keep going. The psalm begins with a cry and ends with a song. How is that possible? I mean, that's some type of secret, don't you think? That's a mystery. People just don't do that, Selah. You just don't get the gut blows. You don't get the devastation. You don't get the overwhelming news and at one moment, and next thing you know, you're just smiling and singing and praising the next. There's got to be some go-between in there. His night from verse 1 has been turned into day in verse 8. I wonder what in the world's happening. I want us to begin with the little word here. Here. Let me tell you a little bit about David first. David is overwhelmed on account of his best friends betrayed him. Ahithophel. He's betrayed him. So he's having to deal with that. You ever had a buddy of yours or a friend of yours kind of backstab you in one way or the other? Be one way in front of you and you find out what they're saying and what they're doing behind your back another way. Oh, that happens a lot, doesn't it? The two-faced people, as they say. That happens a lot. So he's got a problem with some friendships. He's got a problem with the trust factor, because if I put that much trust in this one, what's the next one going to do? He said, me and my buddy, we used to go to the house of God together and worship him. He's turned his back. He's betrayed me. And at the same time, his boy, Absalom. His Absalom is trying to take the throne away from him. And he and the army now of Israel is out to kill King David. So he's got a problem with his friends. He's got a problem with his family. He's got a problem with his nation. The people that he has fought for. The people that he has prayed for. This is the king that God says, I am going to choose whom leads you. King, it is David, a little shepherd boy. And from that moment, the storyline, and everybody knew about the shepherd boy story. About how he'd kill lions and bears and how God would use him and raise him up. And he has won victory after victory after victory. Surely to goodness, the nation will always stand behind him. But no, David's on the run. The anointed King David is on the run. He's been betrayed by his friend. He's been betrayed by his family. He's been betrayed by his nation. I would call that being overwhelmed, wouldn't you? I was talking to Brian the other day, and he was up there in Dion's hospital room when kind of outside the norm had to beginning happening. They had to do some procedures that was unexpected on him to make sure he's going to make it. And Brian said, Miss Elna seemed to be taking it a lot easier than everybody else in the room. And I thought about that, and I thought, that's a peace that passes all understanding. You can't tell me she's overwhelmed, but while being overwhelmed, she seemed to be at peace. So it is possible. It is possible. So with the background of David going on that way, he goes to God and he says, here. The word here has all kind of different meanings to that word. One of them is be very attentive. Here as in give me your attention. Well, odds are he wouldn't be going to somebody asking for attention unless he was be convinced that he would get the attention. Also, it speaks of the power in order to hear. Now, David is calling up into the stars. He's calling up in the heavens. He's calling beyond all of that. He's calling to a God that sits on the throne. And David is just so far-fetched in his belief, in his faith, is he's the fact. But not only is he attentive unto me, but he will hear me. He's got the power to hear. When we get overwhelmed, we got to think about things like that. We serve a God that's attentive to us. We serve a God that has the power to hear us, but also it gives an indication of the one that he is wanting to hear him understands him. That when he gets through praying, Selah, God's going to say, I know. I know. Aren't you glad we got someone to talk to that knows? Aren't you glad we got someone to talk to that at the end of the day, he'll say, I've been there. I've been through what you're going through. My heart goes out for you. I know you're weak. I know you're feeble. Here's my strength. You can lean on me. I know what it's like because I have been there. The little word hear. God, I need you to give me your attention. I need you to have the knowledge of my situation. I need you to have the power in order to hear me. And I also need you to understand. All of that is in that little word, hear. He says, hear my cry. Hear my cry. But and when you study that word, Selah, it's not audible words. It's a shrill. It's a scream. I don't know if he's on his knees. I don't know if he's in the midnight hour. I don't know where he's at. But only thing David is doing is just screaming out to God. Not words, just screams. Hear my cry. But what's strange in verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. I'm going to lay my Bible down right here. The end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Well, what's strange about that is the word cry in verse 1 is different from the cry in verse 2. You would think cry means cry, right? But no, in verse 1, he's screaming, he's hollering. He's shrieking out to God to say, God, give me your ear, please be attentive to me. But in the next verse, he's simply just crying. Simply just crying. Still no words yet. But he's asking God to hear, to be attentive, to understand. When there is no words, think about that. I thought about when Micah was little. Now, I use an excuse a lot, saying, well, I'm the guy. Not a lot of expectations on the guy. You know what I'm saying? But when Micah was just little, it was just me and him. And I had him, me, the guy. I'd never done this before. I had a baby. A baby. I mean, let me tell you how I think. Micah got sick one day as a baby. He was standing up. He could walk a little bit. He could walk pretty good, but he got sick. I'm talking about bad sick. Moms, it don't bother y'all that much. Dads, it does. It was cold. It was cold. I mean, he got sick in my truck. I had to tote that young'un up with stuff on him up the back deck, and I said, all right, you can't go in the house. Stand right there. I promise this is true. I went in the cabinet, and I got me 2 of those barbecue prongs. And I went out, and I took his shirt off with those barbecue prongs. I slipped everything off of those barbecue prongs. And I went and got one of those buckets. At least it was warm water. And I was out there, and I was just pouring water over top of his head on that back deck. That's how guys think, okay? But I tell you this, long before he was audible, he would cry some. And it wasn't long, John, it wasn't long to where I could discern what he needed based on his cry. I would know if it was a hunger cry. I would know if he was afraid cry. I would know if he's just uncomfortable cry. I would know if he's just an angry cry. And I also know if it was a cry, that he just wanted his dad. Didn't take me long to figure those cries out. The Holy Spirit brought that back to me when I was reading these verses. I was saying, God, how is it that you're able to hear him in his cry, in his screaming, in hearing him when he's just crying, and he's had no words yet? And he said, oh, I know the cries of my children. I don't know if you've been through it or not, but one of these days, if you haven't, you will. Your need will be so devastating that you will be beyond audible praying. You won't know what to pray. You won't know how to pray. The only thing you can do is just hit your knees and cry. But I'm glad that we serve a God, don't you? According to verses 1 and 2, that he can discern the cries of his children. David, you're going through some situations here. How are you praying? He said, I'm just going to cry. Just going to cry. But notice from where he's praying. From the end of the earth. Now we know he wasn't at the end of the earth, right? But where he was at this time was about 60 miles from Jerusalem. See, that's where the worship center is. Every Jew longed to be close to Jerusalem. The Holy of Holies. The mercy seat. The dwelling place of God. David was saying, I'm at the end of the earth. God, I feel like I'm physically as far as away from you as I can get. And David was saying, I'm overwhelmed at this feeling. It's not so much his physical separation it was from him, but more so, I believe, his spiritual separation from him. If you hear, and you put your faith in our Savior, there should be a part of you that desires and longs for his presence. But also, we'll go through certain situations to where when we long for him and we'll think, where are you? I can't see you. I don't have any directions. And we will feel so distant from him, such as David. I can't even imagine being in Elna's position. I can't imagine being those parents' position. I can imagine putting myself in their shoes. I can just think how distant they may feel at times when all this stuff is overwhelming to them and they have no words. God help me. God fix this. God raise my baby up. How many more words can you say that means the same thing? And the result is just brokenness and crying. David was there. He said, God, I feel distant from you. Not only physical, but I feel spiritual separated from you as well. He said, well, I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed. That is I looked this up and it is a mariner's term. And I thought, what? What do you mean a mariner's term? What does that mean? It's like the word picture here is someone that's on a ship, a sailor that's on a ship, and he has a shipwreck close to but it's so dark they can't see. They don't know where they're at. And the waves is coming, the storms is coming, and the rain is heavy, and it's just deep, and it's dark, and that's where David's at. He said, I'm overwhelmed in this situation. I have no words. But being overwhelmed, it says, lead me. God, I'm at the point to where I need you. I don't know where you're at. I'm overwhelmed. I'm beyond words. But however, if I will be still and listen and watch, you will lead me. A preacher said one time, I believe it was Brother Bagwell, said, sometimes sorrows are angels in disguise if they lead us back to our knees to God. There's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. Lead me to the rock which is higher than I. To the rock. Now all through Scripture, Jesus Christ is referred all the way back to Exodus when Moses struck the rock, the picture. All through that. All through Scripture, the rock is a picture of our Savior. David said, lead me back to that place, and it, now it fits into the mariner story, the shipwreck story. I'm overwhelmed, I'm shipwrecked, I don't know which direction to go, and somehow, in his squirming and his crying, his desperation, he reaches a rock. But this rock is not just a regular rock. This rock is not a floating rock or whatever you call them things in buoys or anything like that. It's nothing like that. This is something that's structured. This is something that's sound. And he's grabbed a hold on it. And the higher he climbs, the more out of danger he's getting. The higher he goes, the further away he is from the waves and the danger and the fear and confusion. He is saying, I found the rock which is higher than I. When he says higher than I, he's talking about higher than the situation that I'm in. Higher than the circumstance that I'm in. Higher than my problems with my family. Higher than the problems with my friends. Higher than the problems of my nation. He is higher than that. And if I can just reach him, if I can grasp him, if I can get a hold of that structure, that strength of that rock, and climb as high as I can, I'll be okay. That's what he's saying. For there has been a shelter. There has been a shelter for me. There has been. You know what's strange? Verse 3, past tense, isn't it? Thou hast been. Thou hast been. That's yesterday stuff. I'll tell you this. Sometimes the only way you're going to make it through today is to go back and see where God, how God has brought you from your yesterdays. David remembers, I remember when I was scared on that shepherd field out there in that bear come. I remember, what am I going to do? I remember when the lion come up, what am I going to do? I remember when nobody would fight Goliath, and I went out there and I thought, well, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. He's standing against you. This is not my battle. This is your battle. I'm just going to be your tool. I remember that, God, and you got me through it. He said, I remember what thou hast been. You have been my strong, my stout, my strength tower, the one that protrudes way up, my tower. But also, a strong tower, them a shelter and a strong tower. Now, I found 49 times that word tower was mentioned in Scripture. It's depicting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's depicting a place that you can run to in time of trouble. It's depicting a place to run to be sheltered. It's depicting a place to run to that when you're confused and don't know what to do. It's depicting a place to where you go to find that secret place to be just for a minute to be okay. It's kind of like God hearing the cry of, is it a hunger? Is it not being comfortable? Is it the fact you're confused? Is it the fact that you're scared? Or is it the fact that you just want to be held by your dad or your mom? Which is it? He's saying, I have found a place. I have found a place of my strong tower that fits all of that. 47 times, tower means tower. Just tower. One time, it means castle. Castle, same word, castle. And I thought, that's a place of refuge, isn't it? That's a place of strength. That's a place of protection. That's a place of direction. That's a place where I can go to when the enemy is crowding over me. That's the place where I can go to when I'm overwhelmed, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be the nation, or whether it be anything else. I know I've got a strong tower. I've got a castle. And the other time the word is used in Nehemiah 8, and you wouldn't believe what it is. When they told Ezra to bring the book, the Bible says that he went behind the pulpit of wood, opened the book, and just read it all day. Just read it all day. And it stirred them up so much that after he got through reading, they hung out and talked about what he read. People that didn't understand it was asking, I didn't completely understand that. Will somebody please tell me what he meant by this, what he meant by that? The pulpit of wood. That's what it meant. The pulpit. Strong tower. Pulpit. What in the world is the Holy Ghost telling us tonight? When you're overwhelmed, when words are not there, when you feel like that you're so far separated from God that you can't hear Him and you have to beg Him, and all you can do is cry, the Holy Spirit says, find the pulpit. Find the place where the book is opened. There you'll get direction. There you'll find out the protection. There you'll find out how to get strength. There you'll find out how to explain some things. There to find to give you some power when you feel like you can't go. When you feel like you're overwhelmed, it will give you a moment or a sense that you can go at least one more day if you can find that pulpit where the book is open. That's what he's saying here. He said, I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. The covert of thy wings. He's picking up something here. He's picking up on the secret. He's picking up on the mystery. The covert of thy wings means to cover. In certain portions, two portions, it means to cover. But the other three means this. In the secret place. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the covering, over the shadow, over the covert of the Lord God Almighty. David is saying, I got to get to that secret place. I got to get to that covering. I got to get to the place to where he can spread his wings over me and he will shelter me from the storms. How do I get there? I don't know the direction of how to get there, but if I can find that pulpit, if I can find a place where the book is open, if I can place where somebody, a man of God, is standing up saying, thus saith the Lord God, if he can show me examples of what God has done in the past, he showed me examples of what men do in order to get through the day and has to look back and hang on to what God did for us yesterday and to get through it that way and find out this, I don't have to go to God with all the right words. I don't have to go to God with the sense of his presence. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter if I just cry unto him. He will understand what I need. Even if it's just holding me, that's what I need. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. He said, Lord, I just want your presence. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Then he says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name, that have heard my vow. You know what I'm picking up, Selah? Notice in verse 8. So will I sing praises unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I'm convinced that he wasn't so much concerned about himself. Sure, he was overwhelmed. His family betrayed him. His friends betrayed him. His nations betrayed him. They was out to kill him. He wanted to live. His prayer is that you'll spare the king's life. Give me some more days. It was so much that where he could say, God, I need you to help me, me, me. But in verse 5 and verse 8, it's about his vows. What in the world's vows mean? It means his promises to God. It means the things that God had pulled him out to do. David is saying this. Sure, I'm asking you on my behalf, but here's the bottom line. What I'm being overwhelmed with, my fear is it's going to hinder me in my service to you. It's going to hinder in my work for you. It's going to hinder me giving you glory. It's going to hinder me being able to testify of you. It's going to hinder me being a light for you. God, I beg you. Verse 5, he says, you have heard my vows. You have heard my promises back to you. You saved me. You called me. You delivered me. You separated me. You set me on a path. And I said, since you do that, I will live for you. I will serve you. I will testify of you. I will be an example for you. And God, this right here is overwhelming me and it's hindering me, and I need you to help me so that, verse 8, that I may daily perform my vows. It's not about me, he says. It's all about you. It's all about you. I forgot one thing. I need to back up on this important. The word here means, God, I want you to hear and answer Psalms 143. Hear and answer, same context, same type of wording, same meaning. He says, I want you to hear me judiciously. Judiciously. Now, I don't know about you, but I've stood before a judge before. I have had the privilege of being on vacation for a while at your expense. Didn't cost you a lot. Just a toothbrush and a bar of soap. That's all it cost you. But I've been before a judge. David is saying this. This will help us. This has changed my prayer life. David is saying, God, I need you to hear me even though I don't have the words. Hear me and act based on my cries. But this is how I want you to act. When we go before a judge down here, we're judged by our actions of what we did. That's why we're there. And what we're doing. How you been acting since that time? Where you at now? Are you in school? Are you being behaved? Any new charges pending? And then he based that judgment on our past and our today. But when God judges, or God declares, or hears and acts judiciously, he adds one more caliber to it. It's not for the fact, I know, says God, how far I've brought you. I know, says God, what you need today. But I also know, based on how I answer you today, how it is going to affect your tomorrows. That's the reason why some of our prayers don't get answered. Because it's going to affect our tomorrows far over our heads in our todays. But God says, I know every decision you're going to make. I know where this answer to this prayer, the way you're asking me to do this. I know the outcome of the benefit or the negative effect it's going to have on you if I do what you say in your tomorrows. So David is saying, based on my yesterday, I know what you've done. Based on my today, I'm crying out in need. But he also says, but based on what you know about me tomorrow, I need you to answer that way. And the word answer is this. God, it's not that I need you to tell me yes or no. It's, God, I need you to make a testimony from my situation. Not for me, but for you. I need people to look back on this storyline, on this overwhelming feeling that I'm going through, the betrayal that has broken me from my family and my friends, the danger that I'm going through based on my nations. I need you to answer accordingly so that you will get the glory for this in the outcome, whatever you decide your outcome to be. And whatever it was, we're preaching about it nearly 3,000 years later. We're preaching about what David says, God, would you answer in such a way to where this will be this story about me, the story of what I'm going through will be a testimony for you in all the tomorrows to come. God, this is hindering me in my service answer me so that I can go back and do what you've called me to do. That will prolong the king's life. Now, notice he's beginning to ease up on his worry a little bit, right? He's went from, here, God, I need you to listen. My words is not there. All I can do is scream at you until I have no voice. And now all I can do is cry. In verses 1 and 2. But in verse 6, it changes. Thou will prolong the king's life. The fear of danger, Tammy now has gone. In the midst from crying to praying to abiding in the secret place, and now the confidence that God is doing something. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praises unto thy name forever, that I may perform my vows. Forever. Forever. This is what he's saying. I know I'm being attacked. I know my friends broke my friends has broken my heart. My family has broken my heart. And probably more friends and more family wills today in days to come. But David's saying, I want the enemy to know that I'm not turning back. I'm not going back to where I used to be. I'm not going back to how far he's brought me from. I am going to keep going no matter what. Another friend may betray me tomorrow, but you know what? I'm going to keep going. My family may turn their back on me again tomorrow, but you know what? I'm going to keep going. My nation might get worse than what it is now and break my heart of the children that's coming up under the guidelines of what they're being introduced to, but I'm going to keep going. Keep going for what? That I may be able to daily do, God, what you've called me to do. You have a plan. You have a purpose for me. I don't know who I'm going to affect later on in my tomorrows. I don't know that, but you know that. That's the reason why you won't let me stop. That's the reason why you won't let me give up. I'm going to keep going. And the bottom line is this. When you go to God, being overwhelmed by danger, overwhelmed by fear, overwhelmed by confusion, overwhelmed by the fact that I don't know what's going on or the whys, know this right here. Prayer is never invalidated by your geographical position, whether if it's physical or spiritual. It doesn't matter how long it's been since you felt God. It doesn't matter how long it's been since you really put your trust in God. It doesn't matter how long it's been since you ever had your foot in the place of a building that God says belongs to Him. It doesn't matter. God says the only thing I want out of you is to be able to let you know who I am in your life. I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got provision for you. I've got protection for you. And I've got something I need you to do that's going to impact people that others cannot impact. So there's no geographical position that's going to keep you from Him. Doesn't matter what extreme circumstances you're in, He'll still hear you. And always know this, prayer has a direct connection with your decisions. You say, what do you mean by that? Three different times in the scripture, David says, either I will I. I will. I will sing. It doesn't really say anything about it. The enemy's still after him. His friend still betrayed him. His son is still out to kill him. None of that has changed. None of it has changed. But David says, I will sing praises because it's beginning to affect my life, what he has called me to do. And I have decided that I'm not going to let that happen. I have decided that I'm going to lay my life and lay my trust in someone that knows how far he's brought me, knows based on my cries what I need right now, and based on my life and my decisions in my future, I'm going to put my life in his hands. And I'm going to step back and enjoy the ride because he's going to let me do what he's purposed me to do. You as well. So tonight we have a decision. Which one do you want to be overwhelmed with? All the pressure that maybe some of you are overwhelmed with right now. It might be school, it might be job, it might be family, it might be friends, it might be situations, it might be the community, it might be the nation. I don't know. He should all give us a heart desire for our nation to heal under God. Amen? We don't know. I don't know what you may be overwhelmed with, but you got a decision, or you can make a decision to say, I'm changing to I don't know to I will. If I'm going to be overwhelmed, I'm going to be overwhelmed with the peace of God, not the distraction of the enemy or the world. Because he will come after us any way, form, or fashion, through friends, through family, and through your community, through your work, through your school, through your teachers, through boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and wives and kids and aunts and uncles and grandmas and granddaddies and your friends. That you, even at the ones that you've worshiped together for years, you can be overwhelmed and stick in that, or you can be overwhelmed by the peace and the surety of God. You say, but I want that. How do I do that? I don't know the words to tell you to pray. You might have already prayed all the words you know to pray. But David says what he did. He just went to God, just cried. And God says, I can tell by the cry what you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your time. I asked you, sir, if you'd do a marvelous work for us tonight. I don't know how your Holy Spirit is going to work tonight, but I know you always do a perfect work. Thank you for giving me the privilege to open in your book before these precious people. I pray something that's said and done or sang or prayed or tonight, God, that will move the hearts of those that you wish moved. Thank you again for all you do, what you do, and what you're going to do based on the faith of your people tonight that has heard your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you stand, Randy's going to play a song. Give you a little time that the altars are open. You might not have a lot of things to ask God, but how long has it been since you've been held by him? I can remember Michael would just, he's small enough to pick up. He's not anymore. But I could just tell by his cry, all he needed, go ahead, all he needed was just to be held. Sometimes that's all we need. Amen. Amen. The altar's open. His lap is available. His bosom is wide. If you've never been held by him, you're living beneath your privilege. You really are.
The more I seek you, the feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep.
Choose your overwhelming pressure
your peace.
Or peace.
It's overwhelming.
Randy, you can wind it down, bud. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your attention. C-Line, you got anything? Okay. Max, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Stand. I melt in your peace. It's over.